This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
Power on. Power on.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1. AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by San Diego Carburetor Fuel Injection, located at 6622 University Avenue in San Diego. Go to sdcarb.com, sdcarb.com for all your carburetor, fuel injection, and distributor needs. They're one of the very few folks that still rebuild distributors and dyno them to get as much power out of that engine as possible. Also, if you have a BMW, a Mini, or a BMW Mini or a Porsche, Black Forest Motorsports is where you need to be. 8066 Engineer Road in San Diego. Go to blackforestautomotive.com. That's blackforestautomotive.com. Right now I got Rat Suit on the line. He is got a great off-road event that got postponed. So, Rat, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Dave. Thanks for having me on, buddy. Glad to be on the show.
Yeah, so tell us what's going on.
Yeah, well, right now we're in lockdown, so I'm trimming trees. But next weekend, we were slated to do the Off-Road Nights Expo presented by Toyota Escondido and TE Motorsports. And, we had this postponed. As we know, there's lots of challenging things going on here in the world as we have here in San Diego. So we're postponing the date, and it's happening at the Del Mar Fairgrounds. We moved it to Memorial Day weekend. Pretty excited to get another date over there.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would people see if they go to your event?
Yeah, lots of things going on. If you've never been to one of our Off-Road Nights Expo, I've been putting on Off-Road Nights. This is my eighth year. We've been doing it in the Inland Empire, and it's just constantly been growing. And last March, as you know, I came in and talked to you a little bit about our first show at the Del Mar Fairgrounds is taking things to the next level. This year, we have just some amazing things. We have our Dirt Cross, which is going to feature off-road racing. We got trucks, buggies, UTVs, ATVs, and the freshly added mini moto, the pit bikes. Huge kid zone. We're going to have carnival rides, monster truck rides, 11 bands, which is pretty cool. I mean, that's wow. Just there's a concert just the full time. We got live music from some of the leading artists, upcoming artists here in San Diego, provided by Riot Scene, as well as the most important part, why it's an expo. We have over almost 150 off-road vendors, some of the biggest names and brands in the game out there showing off their latest wares and trying to hook people up with some great deals. So it's basically an off-road expo with you know, hardcore industry. As you know, my background, being a racer, hosting Score International. So I just try to bring everybody together for a great expo, but I added all those extra elements to it for something for people that might not normally go to an off-road expo. You know, you could bring out the kids. Kids 10 and under are free. It's $15 to get in for adults. And live racing all day long, demos, as I mentioned, the kids zone. So just a full family day of fun, lots of good things going on, not your normal expo like you would go to, say, you know, one of the other expos. So pretty excited to be coming there for the second year in a row.
Well, and San Diego is just about Mecca when it comes to off-road, so this makes perfectly good sense that you would be doing such a phenomenal event. And to make it family-oriented, because let's face it, that's really what off-roading is all about, is off-roading. I mean, it's all about family.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's what I try to really focus on to, you know, it's not just the dads or maybe sometimes, you know, the couples going out, but something you could bring the kids to and just really get them involved with seeing all these different types of racing, some fun stuff for them, and then all the great deals throughout our industry that's showing up. So, yeah, that's the big focus. That is my main focus. When I started this 8 years ago, my focus was to bring vendors together and something you could bring the whole family. I always try to step up my game by bringing something to keep the kids energized and smiling throughout the weekend. And it's been paying off so far, and there's just nothing better, as we know, like you said, being in the epicenter. And I call it the epicenter of off-road racing, off-road moto, anything that has to do with the dirt. San Diego is where pretty much where it was all born. So happy to be back there.
No, I absolutely agree. And the thing that people don't realize is that, you know, doing it, because you're really, I think you're the only one even doing an off-road expo in Southern California. And I applaud you for that, because it is truly, truly needed for the folks that go off-roading. I mean, there's some great events like Tierra del Sol and everything, but you got to go out to the desert. You know, and there's vendors out there, but they're not going to have as much as what you have here at Del Mar. And Del Mar is such a great location to do a variety of displays, events, like you were saying, monster trucks and what have you. So I think it's great, and I know it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. I challenge anybody to take it on and just put one kind of a show on and see how hard it is, because it's not
easy. Even a birthday party, anybody that's put a birthday party knows what it's about. So I'm putting on an industry party. And just so you know, there are a couple other expos. There's one that takes place at Pomona Fairgrounds, and then there's the one at Orange Fair Show.
Yeah, but you're in San Diego. See, you're the only one doing this in San Diego. And I mean, granted, you know, driving to Pomona and driving to Orange, that's all fine and good, but it's a nice haul. I mean, today it would be great because there's absolutely no traffic, but I mean, unfortunately, when this is all over with, you know, the traffic will not stop going. It'll come back in a vengeance. But I think it's just a great event, and 11 bands. Now, are these local bands?
They're all local bands. Some of the bands you'll see when you go to some of the main places there in San Diego, some of the key venues. Yeah, we tried to get the best bands, not just upcoming bands, some bands that have really been around in San Diego and made a staple in San Diego music scene. So we try to keep the good energy, and it's all family fun. You know, it's not death metal or anything. It's all family style music. You know, I love the horns and just fun stuff to keep everybody energized while they're coming out and just having a good time. And that's what it's all about. It's, you know, it's one thing to have the expo, and, you know, I really focus on that, obviously, so our industry can grow. But I want it to grow by people that never would have shown up to this event before,
right,
just because of the racing, and maybe introduce them. You know, maybe they'll go get a UTV or a Jeep, and, you know, maybe hook them, hook, line, and sinker. So that's what this event's all about. You don't have to be an off-road racer to come out this. You don't have to be someone that's going to just buy product. You could just come out and enjoy it and see what our whole industry and our whole off-road family is up to, you know, and that's the key implement that I try to push at everything I do for this event.
So do you have any food?
Lots of food. Yeah. There'll be tons of food for sure. Yeah. We'll have a great area with our vendors coming out. We'll have pretty much across the board, everything you could imagine, you know, lots of good greasy fair food. You know, we got, adult beverages for the adults and stuff for the kids. And heck, this is a party, you know. It's more of a gathering and a party to just bring everybody together and be a part of off-road. And obviously I want all my vendors to sell, and, you know, Toyota Escondido, they backed me since day one here at Del Mar, and they're back again, TE Motorsports. So we're really going to bring it this year and stepping up the game on every level.
Hey, call Scott Whitehead and tell him that you need another 10 grand and tell him Dave Stahl suggested it.
Hey, I'm more than happy for you to give him a call, because, yeah, we're holding off for a couple months. But
yeah,
I'll tell you what, a lot of people, you know, as I mentioned, you know, I announced the SCORE World Desert Championship Series, all the races in Baja.
Sure.
We moved our San Felipe 250, which is actually the same weekend. I wasn't going to be able to announce, which was next weekend. So they moved their event to May 9th. And then we're going to move the Baja 500 back a few weeks to give all the racers and crews enough time to prep and pre-run and get ready for that. So everything's moving down the line. Lots of things being canceled, you know, with no new dates. I figured, you know what, I don't want to let my community down. I want the off-road to continue to grow. So instead of just fully downshifting, man, I'm clicking up a gear and I'm holding it wide open, and we're even going to go bigger than ever.
That's awesome. You know, that really is. And, you know, and I'm glad. Well, let's face it. You know, everybody's flexible. If you're not flexible, then what's the point? You got to be flexible in today's times.
That's it. Flexible and positive. You know, we're very optimistic. You know, we're definitely in some challenging, mm-hmm. unprecedented times here in the U.S. And, you know, I definitely think that our government put their actions into play. And I think we're going to get over this sooner than later. So we're optimistic that it's definitely going to happen. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. We're going to get through this as a country together if everybody's doing their job. You know, we have this self-distancing and, you know, we're staying at home. And, you know, it's all I could say to people is, hey, keep positive, you know, keep your family close. And do what everybody's asking to do.
That's
stay
right.
home.
And support your local restaurants. Support
Absolutely.
Your local restaurants. I mean, if you got food in the house, that's fine for snacking. But when it comes to meals, you know, because they are so, I mean, my wife went out last night, and we went to a restaurant here in Alpine, and oh my gosh, they had a table set up. They were doing sanitization. They sanitized your credit card. They had gloves on. And I told her, I said, you make sure you tip big, because these people are hurting worse than anybody. And they were so appreciative of what we did. And I think we should continue to do that until such time as they run out of food. And quit hoarding, folks. You only need one roll of toilet paper, for God's sakes.
Absolutely.
Give me a
You got
break.
Paper towels, man.
Yeah.
Your washing machine works, too.
Ooh, I hadn't thought about that. Put it on the spin dry, folks. You'll love it. All right, Rat, I got to let you go. I'll send you this show. And, you know, if you want to call in like once a month up to your event just to make sure people are aware, all you have to do is ask and you're on air.
Well, I appreciate it. In San Diego, we're looking forward to seeing you. Come on out. It is Memorial Day weekend, May 23rd and 24th. Del Mar Fair, $15, kids 10 and under for free. We hope to see you all there. Stay positive. Support your local restaurants.
There you go. Be there. Be square, folks. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Barona is coming on the line on FM 96.1, AM 1170. The Answer. Hey, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, right here in El Cajon. Right now, their sales department is closed, but they've got an awesome deal. Ford is going to give you 0% financing for 84 months and pay the first 6 months of your car loan on any 2019 Ford, minus the Raptor. What else is it? See, they're not going to do the Raptor. They're not going to do the Expedition. And let's see. And the Shelbys. But all the other ones, 0% financing, 84 months. My goodness. So you need to check that out. Go online, and you can order the vehicle you're looking for and get a screaming deal. No one's called in from Barona as yet. So let's talk a little bit about iRacing. Did anybody happen to catch NASCAR's iRacing at Homestead?
I sure did. It was the most hilarious thing I've ever watched.
Well, I've watched iRacing, you know, before, not anything in depth. But so I thought, you know what, the hey, you know, I'll take a look at it. And I got to say, it was definitely entertaining. Oh, put my headphones back on. It was definitely entertaining. I mean, and the realism of it was pretty cool. And to put something together as quickly as they did, the car crashes were interesting. It did show them bouncing off and parts and pieces flying off. The thing that got me is like when they go into the pits, the car would drive through another car to get into his pit lane, but no damage there.
I saw that. And there was a couple of times where an accident would happen and they would still drive through it on accident.
Oh,
you know, they weren't ready
just
for that.
Right through it. And it was so cute because when they did a tire change, it would show the car kicked up on the right. They put tires on it and then kick up on the left. Put tires. Nobody out there running around. Nobody out there running around with air guns or anything. Unlimited tires. So you didn't have to worry about tires. But when you looked at the equipment that these drivers had, I think it was Denny Hamlin spent, I think, over $10,000.
That's what I heard too. Yeah,
for his driving simulator, and he was driving barefoot. Did you happen to notice that?
I did see that too, and all the commentators were pointing that out too.
I'm going, what the hey with the barefoot stuff? I didn't get a chance to see the end of it because I had to come. Did you know who won?
Denny Hamlin won.
Well, see, that's what $10,000 and barefoot will get you.
I know, right?
But you know, and it was funny because if you got a chance to see Jimmy Johnson's simulator, it looks like he was sitting in a recliner with his feet way up in the air. And that was because he had bought that simulator because I guess he's going to go open wheel racing.
That's what I heard too. Yeah.
Yeah. So he didn't have a steering wheel. He had an IndyCar or F1 paddle shifter, and his clutch was on the steering wheel, not on the floor like the rest of the guys. But the funniest one was, I can't even think of it. Car 14. He's the one that does the Pennzoil commercial. And he's standing there. Oh, I can't think of his name to say.
It's not Kurt Busch, is it?
No. Boy, it just came in and went right back out again. I'll think about it. But, yeah, I watched it, you know, there, and I sent it to a couple of friends, said, hey, need to check it out. And most of the diehards didn't like it. They didn't even want it. They said, no, I'm not that. But to me, if you sat there, Clint Bowyer. I knew I'd think about it. Clint Bowyer, he was a hoot. He crashed so many times. But if you like racing, I mean, I will say iRacing has come a long way to where they simulate the track right down to the bumps in the road. And, you know, I didn't mind it at all. It kept my attention. It was only 100 laps, so it's not going to sit there and drag out like 500 miles where you'd fallen asleep. The cars all had their advertising logos on it, so that was good. A couple of them had different advertisers. One of the kids actually had somebody sponsor his simulator.
That's what I heard on there too. I think it was Geico, wasn't it?
I don't know, something like. But I thought, okay, you know, this is cool, you know. And if I don't want it to take away NASCAR, but the other thing that was interesting is iRacing is also an open wheel, IndyCar racing, modified dirt, and sprint car dirt, which I thought, okay. Now, my brother is an iRacing fanatic. I mean, he races all the time. Now, he doesn't have. I tried to talk him into reaching out to one of these companies, have him send him a simulator, and then he could get on radio and talk about it, but he never did. But he loves it. I mean, he goes to all the tracks all over the world. You know, he gets to race Le Mans and Monza and stuff like that. And I'd never even really gave it a thought about NASCAR, to be honest with you. I never even gave it a thought. But I think, personally, they did a really, really good job with it. And if you're not a NASCAR fan, I think you would have enjoyed it as well. Crank It Up didn't work because, I mean, it's simulation. You know, they always put, I don't know how much NASCAR you watch, but they always want you to turn up your TV so you can hear it. No, it doesn't. It doesn't work that way in my
world.
But
I do appreciate the sound effects they'll do.
The sound effects. No argument. And by the way, this is Brandon chatting on the other end of the line since nobody from Barona was able to call in. But, you know, it kept me in my chair. I didn't get up and go do something else. I was interested to see, you know, how the, because if you've ever done any kind of simulation, whether it be at Dave & Buster's or wherever, if you've ever tried to do it, it's not as easy as it looks. Because to me, you don't, you know, on those types, you don't feel the track in the seat of your pants. And that's really what a lot of driving has to do with, when you can feel the car, is it going to lose traction? And one of the commentators even made a point that, you know, in iRacing, you know, or actually Bowyer said it, that, you know, when your tires start to, you know, degrade and they start to let go, you know, the car can be a little bit more forgiving. But with iRacing, there's no forgiveness. Once you lose it, you lost it.
Right.
And the little puffs of smoke when a tire would go down, or, you know, I don't know. I would have to say I would watch it again, but I will say what it did tell me is I don't need a 500 lap race, to be honest with you. I don't need a 500 mile. I don't think I need that, because I've always said with NASCAR today, you watch the first 20 laps, take a nap, wake up, watch the last 20 laps, and you've seen the race, because everything in the middle is strategy. You know, nobody's going to do anything stupid. No one's going to, you know, take any chances. It's either before or especially at the tail end of the race. So I liked the short format. I thought it worked well. I think the commentators did an absolutely, you know, great job considering what, you know, what they had to work with. And it was funny seeing all the drivers in their casual clothes.
And their garages as well.
Yeah, in their garages or in their house or wherever. But Hamlin definitely had the package. And he didn't want to talk to anybody. I think Michael Waltrip tried to hand him a taco. And he told him, get out of here. You know, I don't, get out of here. I don't even want to talk to you. But is it something that I would watch? If we didn't have the real thing, yeah, I probably will watch it again if it comes on next week.
It's a good alternative, honestly, to me.
I thought it was a great alternative. I mean, if you need that, I mean, if you're stressing out because you don't have any motorsports and you just got to have motorsports, hey, this is not a bad, excuse me, this is not a bad way to go. But, yeah, it was, hey, and the stands were full. That was cool.
I don't know if that counts.
I don't know if that counts, but, hey, at least the stands were full. So NASCAR had to love that. But I'm sure they'll look at all of the, oh, and I don't know if you heard, excuse me, but it was the number one item on Twitter. There was more people talking about that than they were talking about anything else on Twitter, which is nice. Even the coronavirus. So, and you know, I don't know. I was happy to see it, and I will have to say NASCAR or Fox Sports are listening, because when the first race got canceled, they ran the last race the week before in its place. And a lot of people complained about that. They said, hey, if you're going to, you know, show a race, show a vintage race. And I noticed today they had some racing from the 80s, which I thought was awesome. I mean, it was, even though I'm in the studio trying to do a radio show, I'm still watching it, you know, up here on the TV screens. It was really cool. I mean, it was back in the Dale Earnhardt, the Dale Jarretts, and you know, it was some good old vintage racing, I have to say. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got a guest calling in from Paris Auto Speedway right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer. And I let it burn. Hey, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. Yeah, the track's quiet right now, but it's going to fire up here pretty soon. So stay on top of ParisAutoSpeedway.com, ParisAutoSpeedway.com. Hey, we got Chris Kearns on the line from the USAC West Coast Series. How you doing, Chris?
Doing pretty well, thank you.
Hey, did you watch that iRacing on NASCAR today? Did you get a chance to check it out?
I did not.
They also said they do modifieds, dirt cars, I mean, sprint cars, iRacing. I didn't even know that. Did you?
Yeah, I've heard it's actually extremely high tech and very realistic.
Yeah.
Just not my thing. I don't watch it, but
No.
I turn somewhere.
Well, you know, when you don't have any racing to watch, you know, pretty much it's sure. Like You get what you get. But, yeah, it was – if you get a chance to watch it, I mean, you don't have to watch the whole race, but excuse me, you need to get it checked out. So what's going on with USAC?
Well, we're, for the most part, pretty much just supporting what the CDC and the government says,
right,
about stopping all our events, and we're just staying intact with tracks and trying to figure out what's the best plan of attack for each week as it comes up and when we can get back to racing.
Right. And I think right now your series is kind of fluid, you know, along with the times to see what's going to be going on when you're able to physically get back to the track. And I'm sure once, you know, those, you know, restrictions are lifted, it shouldn't be any time at all that you guys will be back in action. You know, I'm hearing 3-4 weeks, which is more than doable. If everybody would follow the rules, you know, and do the social distancing and stop hoarding stuff from the grocery stores. Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
I think we can do just fine. You know, in the meantime, you know, this gives the racers really an opportunity to maybe do some more things to their car, maybe do some more upgrades, get the car ready. Maybe you're under a crunch time. So in a way, it's probably good in that respect, but it's not good for the true race fans, because I know they're just freaking out.
Well, I mean, I guess there's several ways to look at everything. I mean, luckily that the tracks that we deal with all feel the same way when it was leading up to being more mandatory instead mm-hmm. of just a recommendation. Everybody wants to follow the direction they're told. And
sure.
And I preach it all the time. I'm like, gosh, the sooner people stop bucking the system, the sooner they just follow what they're told to do, whether you believe in it or not, whether you think right. it's serious or not, the sooner they follow it, the sooner the government, the CDC, feels comfortable they have it under control, and we can get back to regular, you know, our regular lives besides yeah. just racing. You know, I mean, we have a lot of things to look out for more important than you know, racers supporting their habit of hobbies, but... We got, you know, I think about all these people out there that do stuff for a living. Well, track promoters, this is what they do for a living. This, yeah. you know, this is their livelihood. So it's all part of it.
Well, the trickle down effect is massive, and people, I don't think, realize it. You know, I mean, it affects everybody from top to bottom. And when it comes to racetracks, you got all the people that work at the racetrack. You got the people in the concession stands. You got the people that park cars. You know, it's not just a little drop in the bucket and some racers don't get to go racing. You know, it's way bigger than that. But I agree with you 100%. Just follow the rules. Stay in your home as much as you possibly can. You know, support your local restaurants with takeouts. And just do the right thing. But for some reason, we've got some real knuckleheads out there that just don't seem to want to, you know, follow the rule. They think it's a conspiracy theory. They think this, they think that. They're blaming everybody under the sun. Stop it. Just chill, hang out with the family, read a book, watch some old movies, do some yard work, because I know you haven't painted your fence. I just cut my grass yesterday because I know there's another storm coming. So, hey, you just got to be positive, and just this too will pass.
I think the one that surprises me the most are all the people that are saying, well, gosh, we survived all these other viruses without canceling events. Well, this is true. We did. We definitely yeah. survived the yeah. swine flu without canceling events, but it did kill 18,000 people. So
yeah.
I kind of feel like it's, you know, maybe now the government and everybody's being proactive, and that small minority of people are saying how crazy this is. Well, I don't understand. I don't understand that logic. I'm like, if this is what it takes to
yeah.
save lives, as much as I need to make, I mean, I'm in the racing business. I don't race. I don't make money.
Right.
I need to make money. But gosh, if this saves lives, we're probably going to get through it, you know? And I guess on the bright side, I can look at it. And this is what I truly hope. I hope that when we do get back to normal, this creates a little spark in racing. I mean, our racers out west, you know, they're hopefully the ones that are still employed and still making their full salaries. And hopefully they're, you know, most of our people have that. I mean, I feel terrible for the ones that don't, but I hope they do. And our fans that still have their same incomes, hopefully when we get back to racing, well, they've gone a couple months without spending money on racing. And I hope they support the hell out of racing.
I agree. I hope the stands are so full when it comes back. And you're right. You know, with all the other pandemics that we've had in the past, we never really seemed to learn anything. For example, all the safety equipment that we need, from masks to gowns to respirators, you know, we should have figured that out at the last one when it killed all those people, that this is important equipment to always have on hand. Now, hopefully, this will you know, bring light to the table. And to yell at the government because they're not ready – No, you can't. That doesn't make sense. You know, we just need to be proactive, not reactive. And because they basically shut the country down, this may have, gotten people's attention, I think.
Yeah, I hope the people that I've seen on social media that have still been saying this is all caused by the media are finally starting to realize that, oh, maybe not. But I see, even today, some of them still don't believe it. And I'm like, wow. Those are the people that are making it more difficult for everybody else.
Well, that's true. You know, but hey, they have to walk in their own shoes. So that's their problem, not ours. Now, with this interruption, let's say it goes into May. Are you still going to be able to adjust the series to be able to get all the races in?
Well, that definitely is not going to happen. I mean, we're going to have races. We're just going to lose. We're just there's no way to make up races.
Gotcha.
Unfortunately, out here, as compared to back east, you know, there's a lot of racetracks that'll race on a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday.
Yeah.
Well, that's not as realistic on the West Coast in California. I have a USAC race scheduled for every single Saturday from the middle of March until the end of November, except for July 4th.
Wow.
July 4th is the only Saturday night, and no one wants to take on July 4th because, you know, there's so much other stuff going on.
Sure.
So the only way to make up races is for other races to cancel, and that doesn't accomplish us anything. So, I mean, although we're going to try and do everything we can on this schedule, maybe put some special events together, and then I've got the parts where some of my racetracks are on fairgrounds. Well, the fairgrounds are canceling events, so they're more powerful than the racetracks. So I have an issue with the track up north that they're going to lose their fair. So now I have a race scheduled later on in the year at that track. Well, that track is being told, sorry, we're going to run our fair that weekend. So
yeah.
I've even lost races farther down the road into the season because of what's going on now. So it's going to be a difficult year for everybody, and hopefully everybody just does the best they can to get through it.
Right, and that's really the key. You know, you got to stay calm. You just got and be prepared and just roll with it. You know, to me personally, I would think that if I was going to run a fair, I would figure out a way one night to give you the track, you know, just eat and make a part of the fair. Parrish Auto Speedway does it all the time. And, you know, but again, we don't control the powers to be.
Some fairgrounds are fairly difficult to deal with and don't consider the racetrack to be super important.
Right.
And I hope the communities realize that. The people that love racing, I hope they realize that. On my side, I sent an email out to all my promoters and let them know throughout this entire year, if one of my races needs to be canceled because they have another special event or a race that makes them more money, I understand. Cancel that event. Do whatever you have to do to make every decision you make the best financial decision you can make for the year.
Well,
and we'll get through it. So if I got to lose events farther into the year because they have something else they got to schedule that's more profitable, I completely understand, and the racers are going to have to understand.
Well, and here's something I was really glad to know that you were going to be calling in today, because I was going to offer you, you know, an opportunity, you know, once we get to where we know that this is starting to, you know, go in the right way and we're getting back to normal life. I have no problem whatsoever if you would like to have promoters across the United States call in at the 3:45 window, and I'll promote their race, because our station goes clear across the United States, and I have no problem giving them 15 minutes to talk about their rescheduled event and when it's going to be and where it's going to be and who's going to be ready. I have no problem helping you out there if that makes that. I mean, that's four times a week, you know, that I can help you out once we get past some of this insanity. And all you have to do is send me an email and let me know who you'd like to call in at 3:45, because my 3:45 window, I always leave it open just in case, because you never know. You know, like this slot is locked in for Paris, and the 3:15 is locked in for Barona. So I've got 3 o'clock and 3:45 I'm more than happy to offer to you. And it's totally free. Won't cost you anything. And if it'll help any of your promoters once they know they've got a race coming up, I mean, social media is great, but sometimes it's good to go into a radio show that does nothing but motorsports.
Yeah, that's great to know, and I appreciate that, and I definitely will pass that along.
Good.
I know that everybody that can help out the racetracks all they can once we get to going again is every little bit helps. That's awesome. I'm proud of USAC's stance on all this. I'm proud of the racetracks' attitude and stance on all of it, and knowing that people's safety and is so much more important. Oh. And for the most part, I mean, just talking to our racers and the ones on social media, I'm proud of how most of them are they're all responding to it and understanding that it's such a much bigger picture.
Oh, much bigger. And the advertisers as well. You know, the advertisers get it. They understand. I mean, you can't blame anybody for this. You know, it just happened, and we have to adjust accordingly in a positive fashion. And I don't think there's another group of people that do a better job of that than the race community. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but whenever there's adversity or anything, the race community bands together and takes care of whatever it needs to be done to make it happen. I mean, that's the way I see it.
I would have to say I agree with that. There is no doubt about it. And sometimes it even surprises me, but yeah. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, one of our major sponsors on the CRA series, Woodman's Auto Display. I mean, I had to contact him and tell him, hey, it looks like I'm going to owe you some money back. And he just said, you know what, let's just get through this and worry about that later.
Oh, man.
You know, he's not worried about the money. That's not really that important, which is, we appreciate very much.
Sure. Well, and to be honest with you, I don't know what's going on with the government, but if they are going to send us money back, I plan to give it to my local tracks. I'm going to give whatever they send me. I'll split it between Paris and Barona, you know, because I consider them my local tracks, and I will probably just take whatever they give me and divvy it up to the local tracks to help them. Because like you said, you know, like Barona, that's family owned and operated. You know, Paris, with Don, I mean, this is pretty much on him. And yeah, and those guys and girls, they really need the help. All right, buddy. Hey, give me your website so people can stay on top of what's going on across the country.
Best place to check is USACRacing.com or the USAC Racing Facebook page.
All right, Chris. Get a hold of Scott, get my email, and send me an email whenever you like and request airtime, and it's yours.
I appreciate your offer and your time, and thank you.
All right, buddy. Be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
All right, folks. This is Racer Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170. The Answer. I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your.
All right, folks. Thank you, Brandon. That's a great tune. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170. We are The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Certified Car Clinic. If you didn't know who that was, folks, that was Mr. Rogers, Kenny Rogers, who passed away, 81 years old. And what a great guy. What a great life. Certified Car Clinic, 11370 North Woodside Avenue in lovely Santee. Go to CertifiedCarCare.net. Also host specialties in the building. If you want to trick out the underhood of your car with braided air, fuel, and water lines, they can do it. Great guys. Go see Matt and the great Certified Car Clinic. All right, right now we've got Norm DeWitt on the line, who does not like e-racing. But that's okay.
Well, yeah.
Come on. You hard.
The real thing. What can I say?
Well, you wait till they do the, you know, the MotoGP and iRacing. Then I want to see you gag.
Well, you know, one time I was at the Motor Press Guild annual gala up in Los Angeles at the Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in this three-screen simulator racing a Lamborghini of some flavor around Monza.
Wow.
And I was doing okay, but then when I got, I was fine through the Lesmos, but when I got to Ascari, I was thinking the old Ascari, which was just a fast left-hand flick on your way down to the Parabolica, and I forgot that they'd put like an S in the middle of it.
I
just screaming off into the barriers, and pretty much wasn't much left of my particular ride that day. And I'm sitting there, and this guy pats me on the shoulder. He was watching me the whole time, and he goes, "Hey, you were doing fine." And I look up, and it's Dan Gurney.
Oh my gosh!
Well, I thought, threw it away.
Yeah.
In front of my one chance to impress, you know, one of the greatest American race car drivers of all time.
Wow.
And I made a dog's breakfast of it.
Don't you hate that? Well, Roberto Guerrero was repping for a simulator company up in right by San Juan Capistrano, up in that area. Laguna Niguel.
Yeah.
And it was an F1 simulator company, and this thing stood like 20, 30 feet in the air, and you had to go up, and there was like a 3-screen, and you strapped in and put the belts on, and I was asking him about it, and he goes, yeah, pick any track you want. I said, oh, okay, well, you know, let's do Le Mans. You know, I love Le Mans. And I'm going down the Mulsanne Straits, and I must have been doing 3,000 miles an hour, and I missed the turn, and man, that thing took me off road into the gravel, and it just about shook my eye teeth out. I've never been so violated in a simulator in my whole life. And yeah, so that was my one and only experience. My brother does it all the time. He loves it to death. I mean, he just thinks it's the greatest thing since popcorn.
I worked with Dallara on the story of them developing their simulator for my first Making It Faster book.
Mm-hmm.
John Alacy learned how to drive a Dallara IndyCar in the Parma, Italy simulator.
Wow.
And this thing is like in a warehouse, and it's this gigantic, it looks like one of those tripod war machines.
Yeah.
From War of the World.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Big, look like a big spider with the big long legs, and this.
Yeah, and you're in a monocoque that's set in the middle of this thing.
Right.
It was and they've got one in Indianapolis now too at the Dallara headquarters right in Speedway.
Uh-huh.
So I've seen that one too. It's amazing when you get to that professional level what they can simulate. But I don't know. I'm not really into just sitting in front of the TV playing games. You know.
Well, the only thing that I was mentioning to Brandon that with this race that NASCAR put together and. I understand what they were trying to do, and it was interesting. It was enjoyable. It was only 100 laps, so that's good, because if they had struck that thing out for 500 laps, that would have been terrible. But they didn't. They kept it to 100 laps, free tires. You could come in and get tires anytime you want. So I think it was more of a novelty than it was anything else, you know what I mean?
It's an attempt to not have people discover that there is life after racing,
yeah,
and find themselves off into doing something else and not coming back. So that's probably a real concern in this extended, this extended racer's holiday that the coronavirus thing has created.
Oh, it's terrible. Well, and I just talked to Chris Kearns. He runs a USAC West Coast.
Yeah,
and he said the amount of races we're losing, you know, we can't get back. You know, we can't just do a remake. He says, because
the local rings are in big trouble because they don't buy out a handful of big money events. But then you look at Circuit of the Americas in Austin. They're in a situation where they lost in the month of April both IndyCar and MotoGP.
Mm-hmm.
MotoGP got pushed out to November, but I don't think that they're going to reschedule. There's nothing that I'm aware of. The IndyCar's there. I think the first four races for IndyCar were just flat out canceled.
Right.
And along with Long Beach Grand Prix was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really difficult scenario for the track. They let everybody go but a handful of key personnel because they can't have concerts anymore either, which is another major revenue for Circuit of the Americas.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's kind of like, you know, they'll probably be there for the races in November, but they're going to be financially crushed.
Well, aren't they financially on the edge as it is?
They have been almost since their inception. But apparently Formula One's working a little bit on trying to modify that ever-increasing sanctioning fee, from what I hear from my friends on the ground in the Austin area in motorsports.
Mm.
So hopefully Liberty Media will do something not to crush their own home Grand Prix. So it's a scary situation. The Monaco Grand Prix is gone. It's been sold for the year. We have between May 3rd and June 7th, I think, we have four MotoGPs scheduled around Europe, two in Spain, one in Italy, and one in France. Anybody want to bet on what the odds are of any of those happening?
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that because those folks are just now getting into this. Oh, my gosh. That's just going to be
And then, of course, the 24 Hours of Le Mans has now been postponed until, I believe it's September.
Oh, wow.
And I still no word out of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I guess they're maybe, you know, they're going to the witch doctors and everybody else and hoping that maybe some miracle happens and the Indy 500 comes off on Memorial Day. Well, you know, stay tuned.
Well, if people would just do what they're supposed to do and stay home, not congregate, you know, and give this epidemic an opportunity to peak and start working its way down. But if people don't follow the rules and regulations, it's just going to prolong the problem, and it's just going to affect an awful lot of people.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen the pictures from spring break.
Oh, can you believe it?
You know, now there's, I think what was it today, it went over 800, the number of cases in Florida.
Yeah.
And, you know, and most of those kids there left Florida and headed all over the country.
Sure.
So, no, it's, it doesn't take that much of a percentage of the population to completely screw this up.
No, and you're absolutely right. It only takes a small, small percentage. But the good news is, if you're stuck in your house for a couple of weeks, this is a great opportunity to read your book.
There you go.
Don't you agree?
Yeah, I've just finished my taxes, and I've got a couple of unfinished magazines and books sitting around me in a circle right now. So yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah, and how do they get that book? Because I'm serious, folks. I mean, he has no problem going to the mailbox. He has no problem putting a stamp on it. All you got to do is send him an email or a text, and he'll hook you up.
You can reach me at email is makingitfaster@cox.net.
There you go. How easy is that?
And you could also, if you're so inclined, you can go to Amazon or just about anywhere else under the sun and just type in Making It Faster or Norm DeWitt, and a whole bunch of stuff will come up. MakingItFaster.com is my website, which has links to all the books that are sale on Amazon. So, you know, it's if you're a racing fanatic with a sense of history and wondering how things really went down, mm-hmm. How they think it went down, it's all first-person stories from the people that were either in the pits, behind the wheels, designed them, engineered them, or owned them,
mm-hmm.
what really happened. So, if you're a racing junkie, you'll like the Making It Faster books.
Well, without a shadow of a doubt. And take your book. Nobody says you can't go outside, sit on the patio, you know, get yourself a lemonade and a comfy chair. And, you know, and you only have to watch the news in the evening. You know, watch maybe 1 hour of the news. You don't need to stay glued to the TV 24/7. All that's going to do is, you know, spin you into a tizzy. Just leave the TV alone. Grab a book, and I'm telling you, Making It Faster 1 and 2 is my recommendation. Norm, thank you very much for taking time. Now get back to your taxes.
I just finished them. Now I get to get back to a book.
There you go.
Leading by example.
You're the man. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Gun Sports Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170, The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.